a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Slow start at the plate for the Astros to open up the 2025 season. For those who don't know, 9 runs their first 5 games. 4 extra base hits. Jose Altuve has 33% of Astros hits. And Yordan Alvarez is 1-for-16. Alvarez was asked about his struggles last night. Here's what he said through an interpreter. Quote, "I've been in this situation before. Anybody who's played baseball before has been in a slump. And I'm not going crazy. It's just something that happened." It was really interesting hearing both Astros broadcast last night, first on Space City Home Network, where Todd Callis and Jeff Blum talked about how Alvarez, who is going to be, I think, in left field today, perhaps could use some time in the field to get his mind off of the slump. Like, these are the means, I guess, the Astros have to resort to. Because Alvarez, per the Astros' flagship, I guess, feels more engaged when he gets to play in the field. So we're hoping that Yordan Alvarez playing defense could theoretically get him going on offense. It is such a strange stretch to make that connection. I get that Yordan feels the way that he feels. I don't know that I've heard it before.
I've heard that before from guys that DH, where they're like, it's weird to DH because you go up, you have your at-bat, and then you sit on the bench for an hour and then have another at-bat.
Sure, Sean, but at the same time, it just feels like a stretch. This guy's an incredible hitter. All right, he can sit on the bench and focus more on his next at-bat. Like, he doesn't even have to think about going in the field. Go watch a little film or look at the tablets that maybe they have in the dugout. I think they took out all the tablets.
I
forgot. They got rid of all the...
Thanks,
Red Sox. No, that was the Red Sox. That wasn't the Astros. The Astros was the trash can banging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe you can't do those things. But I'm sure there are ways in the dugout that the Astros can communicate with Yordan. Hey, this is what you do in your next at-bat. Playing in the field, that's supposed to loosen him up, make things better.
Look at Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers, they made him a DH. Now he can't hit.
Damn it. Fair argument. It's dumb, though. It's dumb, and I mean, I had some nightmares, some visions about what this Astros season could be while we're watching the broadcast on the Space City Home Network going forward, where we're hearing more interviews with the marketing lady, more interviews with Bobby Dynamite, and getting more terrible HEB commercials stuck in her head as the Astros offense doesn't score. And now on top of that, we've got the broadcaster saying, well, maybe they need to play Yordan in the field so that he can forget about how bad he's been at the plate. In the Athletic article that Chandler Rome put together, Joe Espada told Chandler about Yordan and his struggles, 1-for-16 to start up the season. Does have 4 walks at least. I know how good the guy is. I don't mind waiting. I want it to happen today, but I don't mind waiting. I mind waiting, Joe Espada. I mind waiting. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in more from Yordan. It's part of the game. It's normal, and I've been through this before. I know right now there's a lot of things that aren't clicking in my swing. Well, I mean, there's whole spring training for that. said Espada, it's just a matter of being patient and letting these good hitters come through at some point, which they will. I mean, it does feel like a lot of these Astros struggles offensively are an anomaly. Still, I mean, they're at the bottom of the sport in just about every single offensive category. Ryan's got a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston about the Astros struggles at the plate. Ryan, what you got?
Hey, what up, Polly? Hey, Sean, hey, mates, what they do, baby? Hey, so it's the batter's eye, man. It's always the batter's eye. That's why they're not hitting. What are your thoughts, buddy?
I mean, the batter's eye makes it more visible. It's black now as opposed to green. They have not blamed that yet. I do think that's the next step in the blame game. The blame something for my struggles, Matt. That's the next jump, but we haven't quite gotten there yet. Andrew Ramirez on YouTube says, I'd rather have Yordan Alvarez in left field than Altuve, in my opinion. Altuve did screw up last night, didn't he? Altuve did screw up again. Yeah. Now, look, we haven't been able to see all of Altuve's adventures in left field because we weren't able to watch some of the games that were televised in spring training. But I could be wrong on this. I think that Altuve has screwed up all four chances that he has had to potentially stop a run from scoring. He had the two biffs off the side of his glove with runners tagging from third in spring training. And to open up this season, he's had two moments where a ball has either gotten away from him at the warning track. That was, I think, the first moment with a guy who was going from second to home plate. It would have been tough for Altuve to get that guy, but felt like he was thinking about it, bobbled the ball as he was trying to pick it up. And then there was another moment where he just misplayed the ball and it rolled all the way to the wall. And was that because he was thinking about trying to get a runner, stopping him from scoring? That happened last night. I mean, that was one run. Altuve did get the home run, but the one run I think he allowed by letting that ball get past him, like his plus minus last night was zero.
I don't think that affected that play at all.
You don't?
No. Like, because he ended up getting the ball pretty quickly afterwards, and it was not even close to getting the run. Like, they didn't even throw it home.
But it felt like he took a bad angle.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you only see, like, a split second of...
True.
From the ball hitting...
Maybe this is because he's small. I mean, he is 5'7".
Or it's just because we're all, like, oh, here comes Altuve. He's going to screw this up in left field.
He did screw it up.
But that's not that's not like a huge screw up.
Every little screw up.
I know.
Is
you're
a huge
you're,
screw up.
You're just such a tiger mom with this.
Yes, we all should be. This is the situation they have put themselves in.
Well, because he's not booting a ball in second base. Instead, he's booting a ball in left field. Like, that's the thing. That's what everyone forgets is that he sucks at second base, too.
He almost turned a double play while playing second base.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
That was, yeah, then it got overturned. They challenged it. That was on Monday. I thought he had it for a second, and I was about to tweet, look at Altuve. Still got it at second base, huh? And then, yeah. Ugh. He almost turned it.
He almost got that ball at the wall. He can almost get everything, and he's almost a good defensive player.
Jose almost Tuve.
Yeah.
In the field.
But, you know, to be fair to Jose Altuve, he's literally the only guy on the offense. So I actually don't really – that's also why. I don't care. It's like you're at least pulling the part. You're doing why you're playing in left field. Like that's – the reason you're playing in left field is because you can hit a baseball. If we had someone else who could actually play left field, who could hit, he would be playing left field. We don't have that, so Altuve has to play out there.
Text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston from the 409. He is 5'6", but yes, every inch matters. That's from Pat 409. Oh, that's so true. As an Irishman, I can confirm that. Irish-American. Another texter from the 832. You can't blame the batter's eye when the other team scores eight.
That's always been the rebuttal.
But they haven't scored that many runs. At least last night, they only scored three, the Giants. They scored seven the night before.
I was going to say, the night before, they didn't have a problem with the batter's eye.
Texter says one hitter hitting over 200. And Kyle Tucker is on a four-game home run streak. Yes, that's true. From the 409, you make a nice catch in the field. It eases your nerves, talking about Yordan. Kind of like when you get some and you have that post-you-know-what clarity. Well, I don't know. Sometimes the post-you-know-what clarity is a moment of shame, and you're like, what have I just done? Yeah.
And
what
also,
can of worms have I opened?
Explain why Jose Altuve is the only guy who's hitting the ball well.
Yeah. He's been the worst fielder.
I actually don't think that playing the outfield and hitting are that connected. Remember when people said that playing left field would hurt Altuve's confidence at the plate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That if anything, I need him less confident in the outfield. I need him more conservative out there.
Yordan, I guess, is going to be in left field today. Yes. And someone else texted from the 409. It's not that strange when all you can do is hit once every nine guys. There's no other way to help the ball club when you're struggling. The only thing you think about is that. Okay, but I don't want Yordan Alvarez to think about running and potentially get injured and be out for a couple of weeks. And I know it's dumb to just assume injury in any sport because bleep happens. But with Yordan, I assume injury is going to happen.
Well, also, I mean, he got hurt last year running the bases.
Yep. Yeah.
If only he could just stand in there and swing and someone else runs for him. Someone else plays defense for him. Just literally just hit the ball. Can we do that?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, watch this. 2 for 20. How do you like that to start the season?
From the 832, statistically speaking, more balls go to left field than second base. Well, we don't want Yordan fielding them, although Yordan is not as bad as Altuve there.
Really, all this boils down to is that the two best hitters on the Astros both stink at fielding.
Yep.
No matter what, you're going to have someone bad out there.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. If you want to vent about the Astros, that's on the table. 2-3, 9 runs in 5 games. Also, we lost an icon last night. A question for you. What, as an actor, should the late Val Kilmer be known for most? We'll discuss, embrace debate. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hopefully, the Astros can avoid a sweep later this afternoon. And also, in about 11 minutes, our beloved Cougs are about to get on a bus to drive to San Antonio. Would have been nice if they could get a private jet, but from what I understand, I think Jeremy Brando talked about this yesterday on the Killer Bees. Per the NCAA, you got to drive a bus if you're this close. Sorry, it's the Final Four. Grease the table. Is that what you say? Grease the skids? I'm not 100% sure what the term is. All I know is the idea that bribery is illegal in the United States of America is a farce. And the NCAA, we think they're above taking a bribe. Yeah. Look at Mark Emmert's hair. Of course, he's not the head of the NCAA anymore. Do you think they're above taking a little money under the table? Tillman Fertitta. Little money under the table to the NCAA.
He's the ambassador of Italy. He can't be doing business underhanded.
Oh, the ambassador to Italy can't pay people off?
No, that's not what they do.
Oh, Italians don't pay people off?
No.
Italian-Americans don't pay people off?
Especially when they own casinos.
Oh, okay, I forgot. Al Capone never existed.
They don't do that. They don't, especially not a government official.
What better way to ingratiate yourself to the Italians if you're Tillman Fertitta than by doing a little bribing in the United States? You know, he wets the beak of others. So Tillman, little money under the table for the NCAA, $50,000 for a private jet. Come on, we still have 9 minutes. We can make this happen in 9 minutes. I do not want the Cougs driving through rush hour traffic on I-10 to go to San Antonio. Leaving at 1:30 is a poor choice. And these men are large humans, and most charter buses, and I'm assuming the Cougs do not have their own custom charter bus, are situated so that if you are 6 feet tall, it is going to suck. I do not want any of these guys even slightly hampered in terms of mobility or cramping or anything on a drive a couple of days before the biggest game of the season against Duke. Sorry, I don't want that. Private jet. Oh, Paul, the airlines aren't doing so well these days. But we got a billionaire paying for this one, okay?
This isn't make sure that this one, yeah.
This isn't a regional jet. This isn't a Legion, you know? We're not Mick Cronin in UCLA.
No, oh, God. No.
We're the Cougs, okay? So step your game
up. What if Kelvin Sampson's like, no, well, we want it hard? Actually, once we get out of the city, just throw the bus in neutral, and our guys will get out and push it to San Antonio.
If he
JoJo
said that,
Tugler is going to push us.
I would do a 180 immediately. if Kelvin Sampson says it's for the best, it's for the best. Some people are saying, well, maybe they're going to stop at Bucky's along the way.
I don't think they should.
I don't either. I don't want them eating anything that's not good food. Okay.
Yeah. They also, I mean, again, like we said, leaving at 1:30, like. Leave at 11. Like, come on. What are we doing?
Tasty food and good food are different things, okay? And Bucky's has some very good, tasty options. But, like, the brisket sandwiches and the tacos, no.
No?
No. Clean eating. Pasta and protein. That's it for the next couple of days, okay? Okay. Val Kilmer. Legendary actor. Known for Top Gun, where he played Iceman. Known for the movie Tombstone. I'm your Huckleberry. I mean, Val Kilmer in that movie where he plays Doc Holliday. Fantastic. He played Jim Morrison in the movie about the Doors. Underrated movie. He played Gay Perry in the movie Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Also stars Robert Downey Jr. and Michelle Monaghan, who is a strong, powerful, independent woman who's also been featured on the most recent season of White Lotus. My big question is, what is he known for? He was in Heat as well. He played Batman in the Batman Forever movie.
Yeah, the Tommy Lee Jones one, right?
I haven't seen that one yet. Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Joker. I know, that's actually the one Batman I've not seen. I've seen part of Batman Returns. What's he known most for? The first line that came to me was Val Kilmer in Tombstone, which also features Kurt Russell, hell to the yeah, and Sam Elliott, hell to the yeah. I mean, it's just like the epitome of man movie. When he says, I'm your Huckleberry, and shocks the guy who's in like every 80s and 90s action movie, he plays the original Kyle Reese in Terminator 1, iconic scene. Take it down.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
I think Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday is his best role. I mean, I know everyone's going to talk about Top Gun as the Iceman, but Val Kilmer with that mustache and ridiculous accent.
Yeah.
Plus
sweating profusely the entire movie.
Because he's got tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Johnny Ringo. Yeah. Yeah. Great. I think that's probably his best part. I think Top Gun is probably what he's most known for just because Top Gun was a bigger movie and is a bigger movie. Like, to this day, it has a lasting legacy, I guess.
This is true. His hair in that movie,
Top notch.
Just incredible. The, you know, volleyball scene where everyone's not wearing shirts, but they're wearing jeans on the beach.
Yeah, oiled up, too.
Oiled up
a sweaty acting, actually, from Val Kilmer, the more I think about it.
A lot of people, and they're homophobes, these people, they say the scene is gay. It's not. It's just guys being guys. with Playing with the Boys by Kenny Loggins in the background. It's just men being men, competing against one another while sweatily wearing jeans and no shirt. Really, make up your mind, like, wear a shirt.
Yeah. One guy's wearing a jeans. One guy checks. I think it's Tom Cruise checks his watch.
He's wearing his watch while playing volleyball? Yeah. That's a foolish decision when you're doing a sport that's mildly wrist intensive, especially when the sweet spot when you're trying to, you know, dig a ball is, you know, right where your wrist is. Anyway, a lot of iconic lines in Top Gun. I mean, Iceman and Maverick, they had a rivalry. It began like this.
You guys really are cowboys.
What's your problem, Kazansky?
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Ice Man, I am dangerous.
Oh, God. Just make out already. I mean, just, you know, do the handshake that they do in Predator already. Or chest bump. Yeah, the sexual tension in that scene, you could cut it with a knife. And, I mean, the bromance continues because at the very end of the movie, you got this between Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise playing Iceman and Maverick in Top Gun 1.
You are still dangerous. You can be my wingman anytime. Bull. You can be mine.
Hell yeah. USA. 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 Kill all those Russian pilots who we don't identify by country.
They're
just called MiGs.
They're flying MiGs, and they're so the title card was literally somewhere over the Indian Ocean.
Right.
They just did not. They did not want to put a name or a place to any of it.
But those were Russians. Those were communist bastards.
Yeah.
Who took down Goose? How dare they? The best moment, and it is so sad that Val Kilmer ended up getting throat cancer, which really debilitated him and. You didn't see him in much over the last couple of years. It was awesome that there was the one last scene in Top Gun Maverick. If you haven't seen it, you will 100% tear up.
The Navy needs Maverick. The kid needs Maverick. That's why I fought for you. That's why you're still here.
Because you know Val Kilmer was truly fighting to say every single word there. I think that they did help him out a little bit with some enhancements on the audio side of things. But that scene, if you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, it's a really powerful one right towards the end. And then Iceman's character, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1, passes away. You should watch it if you haven't seen it already. But, I mean, that part of the movie sucked because you knew that Val Kilmer was actually going through something.
Yeah, it was like, it's why it was well done. It's why it's a great movie. It is like, it is also autobiographical. That scene is kind of happening in real life as well as in the movie. And it fits well in the movie. And also, it's nice to see.
He's definitely known for playing Iceman, Val Kilmer. R.I.P. the most. I like him the most as Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
I think the best movie is Heat.
That's
the best movie he's in.
So he was asked about working on Heat on Reddit. Here's what he said. Quote, imagine being able to say Al and Bob for the rest of your life. Talking about Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. Not many people can do that. I have seen Bob giggling like a schoolgirl in a van in the middle of the night because we have to be quiet because they're filming outside. I have been hugged by Al Pacino in the middle of downtown L.A. like he was my older brother. I have shot live rounds from high-powered assault rifles over Robert De Niro's head while rehearsing lines from our film. I got to kiss Ashley Judd. I sometimes lived at Michael Mann's house. I am in one of the greatest cops and robbers films in film history. I am on the poster, for goodness sake. What an honor. Priceless experience. Watching all the actors do their thing. We all work hard. But when you are with the icons, you get really squared away. Loved every minute of it. Yeah. That would be a sick one to be on.
He is on the poster. Like, I'm looking at it now. It is Al Pacino. It is Robert De Niro. And in the back, in the middle, it's Val Kilmer.
Is that what he's known for the most? Not Heat. Is it Top Gun?
I think it's Top Gun.
Is it Tombstone?
I think Top Gun, Tombstone, Heat, in order of what he's most known for.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, if you haven't seen it, is truly a fantastic movie. He really is. If you haven't seen it, watch it. He was in Kill the Irishman. Ever seen that one? Also the late Ray Stevenson, who you might remember as Pulo in the TV show Rome. Man, it's a bummer. That news, I saw that last night, and that really bummed me out. So I'm going to put together a list of things that I need to watch with Val Kilmer in. And I'm looking at his IMDb. He did a lot of TV show appearances. Did you know that he was on Entourage?
No, I did not.
He was on an early episode of Entourage. He played the Sherpa. You have no idea it's him because he's in such disguise in that episode. He looks like the man who has smoked the most weed in the history of weed. Fantastic stuff. R.I.P. to Val Kilmer. I'm going to have to watch Batman Forever at some point. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, the 10-minute drill. 18-game season's on the horizon for the NFL, and while the tush push might not be outright banned, the NFL is looking to get rid of it. And I hate that the league is getting rid of a job of a hardworking blue-collar man. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Yes. It is time for football. We might have more football in the near future. You see this? Hear about this? Roger Goodell says that the NFL is discussing an 18-game season. At the same time, the NFL is also looking at health and safety. Not sure how that works. The 18-game schedule was not a focus of the NFL owners' meetings and shifting the preseason from 3 games to 2. Quote Goodell, "We'll continue to analyze it. We'll continue to discuss it, obviously, with the players. We'll all do our work on that. A lot of these things affect whether you would go to 18 games with all the health and safety issues." I mean, they're never going to have a 17-game season, just a 17-game season for the end of time. You know, they're going to add another game. It's a matter of when. I just think it's funny that Goodell keeps on bringing up the idea of player safety. Like, give you a break.
Yeah, that they have to, like, say those words to then justify, you know, to be like, we are taking into account player safety, dot, dot, dot. We also want to add a game for every team, every season. Yeah. Also, one of those games will probably be an international game. Like, because isn't that one of the other things they said they're working on? Is like, there's going to be one international game per team, basically, with this extra game that, like, they'll just use it as a world tour.
Great. So more games in Brazil.
But player safety.
More games in Germany.
Player safety.
More games in London.
And more player safety.
Honestly, none of those places are safe, given what's going on in Europe and just Brazil's existence, for what it's worth. We're talking about player safety.
Yeah.
But playing outside the United States, not safe.
I mean, they already play in Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
Fair. It's a good point. Some call it Chirac.
They play in Seattle. They play in San Francisco.
Shoot, I think the Texans play in Seattle this year. Field trip? Should I go up there? How many homeless encampments can I walk through and ask people about the Houston Texans? I'm just going to ask them, do you know the lyrics to Football Time in Houston by Clay Walker? Please sing.
And they just lean over.
Yeah, that's all they'll do. And I'll wonder why they're leaning over. And then I'll remember, oh yeah, people just do that on the streets in public. Anyway, NFL, Paul, talk about football. Talking about player safety, Roger Goodell says the league is considering prohibiting pushing and pulling. It's funny because that used to be illegal, pushing and pulling guys who have the football in their hands. And then they made it legal again a couple of years ago. And since that's happened, the Eagles' tush-push has really picked up steam. This is a way to outlaw the rule without looking like you're outlawing the rule because everybody that's not the Philadelphia Eagles is crying about said rule.
Which, by the way, you could also say, like, hey, what's good for player safety? Not shoving a guy in the back? Like, even, like, take out the tush-push. Like, a lot of times when it happens, it's, like, down the field.
Right.
And it's normally a running back who gets stopped, and his forward progress gets stopped, which always frustrates me. That, like, he does get stopped. His
right.
forward progress, and then a left guard and a center come in and run into his back, and he gets a first down.
Yeah.
Like, I always am like, how is this not forward progress has stopped? I don't know. Again, it like the pushing rule. It's just like this was something that used to be a rule that somewhere down the line got taken away.
Mm-hmm. So this is their way to stop it. I thought it was very funny hearing Mike Vrabel, New England Patriots head coach, saying this about stopping the play. Oh, well, Lamar Jackson scrambles are tough to stop. I think they should outlaw that play, too.
Yeah.
I do think that this play will be removed before the start of this season. This is a smart way to go about it so that Eagles fans don't collectively lose their minds and riot.
Yeah, but they still will. Come on.
They still will because no one is more unhappy than Eagles fans. Eagles fans are mad that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they have a very woe-is-me complex.
Same thing happened last time they won the Super Bowl. It was like four games until they wanted Carson Wentz benched again.
It's truly hilarious how miserable those people are. I mean, they've won their first two Super Bowls in franchise history since 2017. And they are still constantly looking for something to be angry about. Philadelphia, baby.
Yeah.
Built different. The NFL is taking away the jobs of hardworking blue-collar men in favor of artificial intelligence and robots. Sony's Hawkeye technology, Sony, will be used by the NFL as the primary method for measuring the line to gain. This is official as part of the rule changes. It'll start with this coming season. The chain crew will remain on the field in a secondary capacity. I'm sorry, but I like the chain gang. I like it. There's a little drama involved with the chain gang coming out to determine whether or not it's a first down. So we're just going to get rid of it now?
I like that part. I don't need these guys, you know, a stiff breeze blows into them, and AKA like a linebacker falls into their legs. And then the game has to stop for 20 minutes as he gets carted off the field.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
Get these old men off the... Or... If you want to keep the chain gang, can we, like, get ageist with it and say, like...
You have to be young.
Yeah,
you
40 and under. Yeah.
But that's not why they're getting rid of it. They're getting rid of it because they think that they're going to be able to accurately measure where a football is on a field. And I think that's going to be really hard to do because you have to determine when a guy's knee is down to determine where the football actually should be marked. That is very difficult to do.
They'll have to, like, have some sort of, like, time code element where they go knees down, time code, where's the ball at this time code,
which might slow the game down if they're trying to link the time code with when the ball was actually you know, the forward progress was officially stopped.
I do think it's funny though that for over 100 years, like, the way they've marked yards is like so just like let me just eyeball it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if you like, you'll just see it watching a game where it's a play in the second quarter. A guy gets stopped, and you see, like, oh, got a friendly spot on that one, or got a bad spot on that one. Where it's like, for most of the game, it really doesn't matter where they're spotting this ball. Like, they try to get it close, and then they pick a spot, and then that's just kind of where you stop. But now it's going to be like with robot precision. Like, now we need to know exactly where it is. Where two plays before, it was just like, hey, they kind of disagreed, so they picked a spot in the middle. Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, that's true. That does happen.
And but then, like, if you want to just be imperfect about it, just be imperfect. It's the same thing with the robot on in baseball. It's like, if you want to say, like, human element of the umpire, like, every strike zone is going to be a little bit different, that's part of the game, then do that. But then to, like, well, But three times a game, you can have a very specific strike zone. If it's a ball, then we'll give it to you.
I want the chain gang to stay. I don't mind the human error element. This is, once again, a rule that's being changed because the Bills are crybabies. I mean, this is definitely because the Bills cried about that ball spot that they got where they were clearly short against the Chiefs. They were short. I'm sorry. I've watched that replay over and over again. I cannot for the life of me figure out how people believe that ball was actually past the line of scrimmage. I don't think it ever crossed. I really don't. Everyone's still bitching about this, and this is why the rules always change. It's because some loser-ass team like the Bills, who were supposed to have this great dynasty, they lost. The Bills lost fair and square.
Again. To the Chiefs.
Right. Because the Chiefs own them. They are their daddy, and we changed the rule. Like, this is not the direct reason for the rule changing, but don't get it twisted. This was a major reason that they decided all of a sudden, we're going to make this happen this year because we screwed this up. So what happens when the Bills lose this time? What are they going to get changed next time around? 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Rockets have a chance to do something they haven't done in years tonight, but they're missing something. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
A couple of funny texts from our NFL segment where we talked about the removal of importance for the chain gang. From the 281, chain gang are the Walmart greeters of the NFL.
Damn.
I heard that if a Walmart greeter asks to see your receipt upon leaving, you don't actually have to show them the receipt. You can just keep walking. So it does really make you wonder, wait, what is your role here? Because I don't ever get greeted by a Walmart greeter whenever I go into that hellhole. I mean, whenever I go into Walmart. The one on Dunnville is just an absolute experience. Experience.
I do wonder how much profiling goes on with the Walmart greeting.
Well, I, you know what? They're regularly asking me for my receipt when I leave. So
yeah, rightfully so.
I think they look at everybody as being the same, and I like that. That's America. But theoretically, if I wasn't such a good citizen, I could just blast past these people, and I would be well within my right to do so.
Sometimes they don't stop me. Sometimes if you just walk with a purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm. From the 832, Pats fan crying about rule changes is insane. Brady created rules. I don't think I cried about it. We're more made fun of the Bills for losing and getting another rule change. Really, if you're talking about rule changes, though, the NFL changed rules because the god of the sport got hurt after an undefeated season. Right? So you don't want to lose the greatest athlete in the history of the world to an injury when someone's taking low shots on him, you know? So that's why they changed the rule. But Tom Brady never complained for that. The Colts were the team that was complaining about rules during the early Patriots run. If we're going to get specific about that. Bill Polian, who was on the competition committee, once famously said that he would never draft someone like Aaron Hernandez, even though while he was in Carolina, he drafted a killer named Ray Carruth. Bill Polian, who famously said that Lamar Jackson should play wide receiver. And now you know the rest of the story. Rockets, Jazz, tonight, two things on the line. Number one, a 50-win season for the Rockets. One more win, they will be at 50. Should happen. The Jazz have lost six in a row. They don't really care anymore. Number two, if the Rockets win tonight, they can be no lower than the sixth seed in the Western Conference, which is fantastic. The magic number is one, and it's very fortunate that the Jazz are up for tonight's game because the Rockets' schedule does get pretty tough to wrap up the year. If you haven't seen the Rockets' schedule ahead before their game tonight at Toyota Center against the Jazz, I imagine it will be largely empty no matter how much bleep talking Vernon Maxwell does about Utah tonight. Take a look at the Rockets' schedule the rest of the way. They're going to play the following teams. First off, Oklahoma City, then the Warriors, then the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Nuggets. That's a brutal five-game stretch to end the year. There's a chance, theoretically, they could go 0-for. So take care of business tonight. You're officially in the playoffs. You got 50 wins. You've done something by officially making the playoffs past the play-in tournament, which they are in, at least as of this moment right now. It'll be really incredible to see what both Ime Udoka and, hell, Rafael Stone and all these young Rockets players have done. Really is cool. But they are missing something, and I don't know how many people watched the Minnesota Timberwolves and Denver Nuggets last night. Double overtime game. Minnesota won 140 to 139. You watch that game, and you just wish the Rockets had a closer. Nikola Jokic, I mean, this is one of the best players ever. 61 points. Yeah. 61. Oh, Paul's double overtime. He didn't leave the court from 6:38 in the second quarter on. He played the entire rest of the way. 61 points, 10 boards, 10 assists, 6 of 11 from outside. It's insane what that guy can do. And it is kind of crazy that performances like this by Jokic don't really get the kind of coverage that other guys who put up nights like this get. He isn't that flashy, and he does look, you know, like a bit of a lumbering oaf.
And he, like, actively doesn't want to, like, talk about basketball ever.
Which I love.
He just actively hates the...
Ask me about the horse racing.
Yeah.
What a performance last night. And they lost!
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards also on the other side of things. The Rockets don't have a closer like that. 34 points, 10 and 8. He had 10 points entering the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter and two overtimes, he has 24. Edwards, he's a fantastic player. I wish the Rockets had one of those guys. Maybe Amen Thompson could be that someday. I'm skeptical Jalen Green will be that guy, though I do think Green's had a pretty good year for the most part. The reason this game went to two overtimes and ended with a Timberwolves win and not a Nuggets win, though, is because of Houston Rockets legend Russell Westbrook. Oh, that was rough. So very end of the game, Nuggets are up 139 to 137, and there's a Timberwolves player in the corner open for a three, and Russell Westbrook closes out on him, as Russell Westbrook does, like a bull in the china shop, and take him out.
Well, before that, Edwards had the ball. Throws a pass, turnover straight to Westbrook, goes down for the layup, misses the layup.
Oh!
And then the ball, still no stoppers. Ball
I missed
goes
that.
Down.
I missed yeah. that. I caught the very end of it. I got a push notification. They're like, oh, double overtime. And I finally turned it on. And I saw the last play. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So he had two bad plays down the stretch?
Yeah. He bricked a layup straight into fouling the three-point shooter.
He's had a good year, to his credit. That's a rough one, though, because that's probably the game of the year. Just given Jokic scored 61 points, goes to double overtime.
And just like how late it is, it's two teams in the playoff picture.
Harlan's on the call.
Yeah, Wolves trying to get out of the play-in. So.
A little inside the NBA afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Steph Curry had 52 last night. Again, you don't have a Steph Curry. And the Bucks shot an NBA record in the 21st century, 68.9% last night.
Nice.
The Astros, it would be nice if they could put together offense like that. One last note on the NBA from last night. This comes from The Ringer. For the first time in NBA history, missed three-point shots are more common than missed two-point shots. That's bad. It's definitely bad. I like two-point shots. What's wrong with two-point shot? Bring back the two. Give me a long J from the elbow. for 2 points. Fade away. Not by Dylan Brooks, but by others. As long as it's not Dylan Brooks, I'm cool with it. I like a little fade away from the jump, from the elbow. Come on. Those used to be fun. Hashtag Kobe. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around. And if you want to vent about the Astros offense with a little over an hour until they look to avoid a sweep at the hands of the San Francisco Giants, you can. On top of that, how's the Cougs bus ride going that they are now 28 minutes into? Because they can't take a private jet from Houston to San Antonio. Talk about that too if you want. Stick around.